Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It is time for the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tangway Along for the Ride podcast, driven as always by Bet Online. Your number one source for all your sports betting needs, football and basketball season. Check it out at Bet Online where the game starts. Okay, guys, I want to start with the Celtics. We were going to do some Anthony Davis. We'll get to that. I have a lot of opinions on the talk that's coming out of the Lakers right now, which I find nauseating. But Jaylen Brown carried the Celtics over the Nets, a 103-92 win. He was on fire. He had 20 points in the first quarter, hit some threes. And I thought it was perfect timing, Bob, even though Tatum had a good night last night, obviously. But Tatum had been struggling lately, and it obvious to me, Brown thought going in that he had to really step on the gas in this game.
He has been able, yes, he's been tremendous. And making his case for an all-star bid, you know, for the second time, for sure. Tatum did have all those turnovers, too, by the right. way, in the midst of everything else, and he was sort of apologetic for that. No, it was a grinding game, And the game, they all recognized that they won that game. Yes, he had the 20 points in the first quarter, but that game was won by defense and creating turnovers when they had to have. When the game got down to 78-76, I think there were four turnovers created in the next, you know, like seven possessions or something like that. And sneak away baskets and our life was good. And it's, the dialogue lately has been that the team has to remember how it got where it got last year, which was defense. They've been riding this wave of all this offense, and the threes have been falling, and la-di-da, that's wonderful. The number one, right up there in the league in offense. But in the end, and we all know when it matters down the road, you know, you're going to have to play better defense, and they have been playing, and they last night was a start in that right direction. It was a good win to launch a brutal road trip. I mean, a brutal you know, not just the length of it and the craziness of having to pack for Toronto and Phoenix, you know, but the quality of the opponents. You know, Toronto is tonight is a team you got to pay attention to. And of course, they're going to Phoenix. And it's a good way to get off and running on a very important road trip.
Yeah. I mean, Jaylen Brown, certainly, like, he's taking that next step. Right, yeah. which I think we all kind of wanted to see him do. The only thing he hasn't done is shoot the ball as well from three this year, and he was great last night against the three. But I think, again, I feel like now he's starting to embrace the fact that, okay, you know what? I'm not going to fight that I'm 1B anymore alongside – Jason Tatum is the most talented player on this team. He's the best player. And you know what? I'm going to embrace the fact that the benefit is – I don't see a double team every night. I don't see double teams every night. So I'm going to be able to thrive. And my next contract is going to be a max contract, partially because I play with Jason Tatum. Right. And he should be an all-star because they're the best team right now in basketball. The best team should have two all-stars.
Well, they're sure the deepest right now. And they're going to get deeper with Robert Williams, which is going to – I won't say it's going to be a problem, but it's going to be an issue as to – you know, the distribution of minutes and how people's, you know, people getting used to new roles, if you will.
You know how you figure that out, Bob? you don't play Glass Rob 30, 35 minutes a game. You play him 25 minutes a game. That's what you do.
I mean, why push him if you don't need to?
Protect Robert Williams so you have him healthy for the playoffs.
Right.
Period. That's the biggest advantage you're going to have right now is your depth. Like you said, you have everything. When Rob Williams comes back, what are you missing? Legitimately, what don't you have in the Celtics team? You have absolutely everything you need. Well, so I mean, all you've got to do is stay healthy.
Well, the only thing, the only criticism, if at all, has been, you know, they're going to need a big at some point. They'll need a big at some point. I mean, you know, obviously right. Milwaukee in the playoffs, you're going to need them. Yep. You're going to need them. And then yep. he solves that problem. So as they say, Bob Ryan, a good problem to have. Now, Tatum did have 29 points with 11 rebounds. What do you think, Jeff, was going on with him the last couple games? Bob mentioned he had the turnovers. Or is it just one of those things that he's human too?
Yeah, I mean, he took that game off, right, Bob? Like, he sat out, what was it, a week or so ago. Yeah. I just think it's a grind of a year, right, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, I they were titled for off nights, period, you know, and that's all in the hell. It's not like Larry didn't have them. He had them. They all have them at some point. They're less than perfect nights. And this is the thing that they were able to withstand it. And that's fine. But no, he'll be fine. I'm not worried about it. I don't like the 9 turnovers. That's awful. That can't be repeated. And but he knows that. But that can't be. No, that's not good at all. When that was the issue last year in the second, in the playoffs and in the finals. So, okay. But no, really, it's almost too good to be true-ish at the moment with this team. The way things fall into place. You know, I mean, Luke Kornet's better than we thought. You know, Sam Hauser is fooling Jeff Goodman. Come on, Jeff.
Yeah.
Fool you a little bit. And then there's that lingering issue that many people have of where's the minutes for Peyton, damn it? Peyton Pritchard should be, you know, but it's hard.
I don't have that issue, Bob. Issue doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me, but I'd like to see him get he's merited those minutes. But the thing is, like, Malcolm Brogdon is Malcolm Brogdon. And, right. You know, so that I understand.
Derek White's making a lot more money than Peyton Pritchard. Who are you going to play?
Derek White too. Yes. But they have.
It's the beauty of the team. The beauty of the team is somebody gets hurt. Marcus Smart's out.
Yeah.
They find a way to work itself out in a long season like this, in the regular season. And then in the playoffs, hopefully you don't have to play Peyton Pritchard. If you do, hopefully it doesn't kill you. But if you don't, that means you're healthy.
Yeah, right. And so, no, I mean, I'm just saying, I like the guy. I was rooting for the guy since they got him. Yeah. He makes hustle plays, and he's I like him. But, you know, but what are we going to do? There's only so many minutes. And believe me, I'm very, very happy to have Malcolm Brogdon on this team. That's for sure.
He's awesome. He's such a great addition and such an understated player and person, Gary. He was exactly what this team needed because, again, he doesn't care about getting any attention or any of that. He just makes the right play. Derek White just makes the right play. And that's what you needed with, I don't want to say too, like, they're not ego guys in Tatum and Jaylen Brown, but they want to become alpha dogs. They weren't ready a year ago at this time, right. And they've grown into it.
Well, Jeff and Bob, both of you know this, that successful professional teams, regardless of the sport, always have a veteran or two that show people how you do business. And Bob, when you talk about a Brogdon, I think that especially with the coaching turmoil the Celtics had, that everybody has forgotten about, hasn't been an issue at all. When you have veterans like White and Brogdon, that just go about their business and show everybody how it's done. Mm-hmm. That's like having another coach.
Oh, and there's no question. You're right. About what sport we're talking about? Those type of people are invaluable, and they're very fortunate to have. And they've got big brother. They got the ultimate big brother in Al, and they just signed up Al for 2 more years. And you know, Al.
What did you think of that, Bob? What did you think of 2 more years for Al? What was the money? How much was it?
I forget the money, but I'm a little surprised. I mean, I'm sure. You have to go back to how they got him when Oklahoma City decided they wanted to live without him,
right.
And sat him down literally, and that's how he was available to come back here. You know, I'll tell you what, he's auditioning for the Udonis Haslam role.
on
the Celtics. By the way, Haslam got into a game the other night.
2 years at 20 million, so basically 10 million a year. And he's going to play till he's basically what does that put him at? Almost 40.
Yeah, Haslam's 42. He actually played the other day.
It's a good.
You want to call what he did playing?
Well, he actually was put on the floor while the clock was ticking. Is that fair?
Yes.
I think Al is a good investment.
Well, you know what Al is? Again, even if he can be a rotation big at that point and play in 18, 20 minutes, he's a chemistry guy. He's a locker room guy. And with Kyrie long gone, Al has made his presence felt in the locker room. I feel like the last go around, Al wasn't able to impose his leadership on that young team, largely because Kyrie was in that locker room. And now it's, again, you go in there, it's like it's a different locker room. It's a different vibe around them. And you know, a lot of it is because Kyrie's gone. I mean, back then, too, you had, you know, Gordon Hayward was quiet. Al was quiet. Tatum was young. Grant Williams wasn't really in the locker room at that point. See, it was such a different. Kemba was in the locker room for a while after Kyrie. He was quiet. Now it's just a good mix right now. It's a good mix.
Yeah. Now let's go to the other side. The opposite end of the spectrum with the Nets, who are 13-12. The Celtics are 19-5. And Durant, as we talked about, you know, you can have problems with Durant with what he says on Twitter, but he shows up and he plays basketball as he had 31. Kyrie, 7 of 21. He had 18. You know, Simmons did not play. You know, we keep saying, Jeff, about the Nets, like, boy, if they could turn it around, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. I think you're going to see a lot of ups and downs with it.
A lot of this where Kyrie goes, you know, and Durant plays hard every night. And we've talked about it, Bob. You know, we missed you last week, but one of the things Jeff and I said is we actually kind of feel bad for Durant, because regardless of what you think of his personality, this poor guy is like giving it all every night, and he's got nothing.
Yeah, well, I don't feel I wouldn't say I feel sorry for him in that sense. I understand what you're saying, and he is giving a professional effort, and he is still a great player, one of the top fill in the blank 5, 6, 7 player in the league. And a scoring machine at mid-range and all that and that stuff. But I don't feel sorry for him. The guy he's been to the mountaintop. He's got a ring. He walked out of a situation for whatever reason. You know, so he I don't have any sympathy for him in that regard. So I'll spare that. But and I don't think we can judge the Nets on any unless they do have Simmons. You know, he's not my favorite player, but I do recognize what he does bring to their table, and gives them a transition game all by himself, basically. If they're going to be whatever they are going to be, they got to have Simmons. I understand that. So you know, Celtics are lucky they caught him in the right place in the right time, I think.
Gary, by the way, Gary. He's shooting 32% from three so far this season. God. Now, smaller sample size, obviously. He's only played 17 games, but I mean, that's the lowest numbers of his career since 2015-16 in Cleveland. He's been a 40% three-point shooter since then and is not making threes. You just wonder how much all of this has worn a little bit on Kyrie, right? Like, you know, not to mention the fact that, you know, he's still got, you know, a body that, like, his knees aren't great. He's been hurt a lot over the course of the last 5 years of his career. But the one thing you count on was, like, Kyrie being Kyrie when he went out on the court and being a dominant, dominant player. And he just doesn't look like that nearly as much as he did in the past.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, he's declared that Jason. Jaylen Brown, he ain't heavy, but he's my brother. But and Brown comes back that maybe he is. Maybe I'm heavier than you think.
You know? What? I didn't. I missed this.
He said that Brown. He feels that that Brown's his brother, a brother.
Yeah,
And Brown was not quite ready to go that far.
Yeah,
and he acknowledged that. A much better relationship than they had here, and he's sympathetic. We all know he got himself embroiled in the controversy last week and all that. But he stopped short of saying, "Yeah, you're right. I'm your brother." No, you're not going that far.
Delusional Kyrie.
It's always delusional. Now let's move on to the Lakers, who have turned it around a bit. I mean, the Lakers, after a 2-10 start, they've won 6 of their last 8. But my God, you know, so Anthony Davis has 55 points, 17 rebounds, 3 blocks. They beat Washington. The Patrick Beverley and LeBron start chiming in, Jeff, that AD should be in the MVP conversation. Jason Tatum is. How come AD isn't? And first of all, let's talk about the turnaround of the Lakers, and then we'll get into the fact that both of those guys are crazy because you need to win a lot of games to be in the MVP conversation. What do you think of the Lakers right now?
I mean, it's good to see. I like this for the NBA. We want this, right? You want the Lakers to be relevant. You want LeBron. I don't want another year with LeBron not in the playoffs. I want to see him go out the right way and be in the playoffs and
absolutely
be in the Western Conference Finals. I don't think they can win the whole thing or anything like that. But like with LeBron, with AD, you got two of the top when they're out there. They're still two of the top 10-ish players in the world. And AD, we waited for this. Like he was on the verge of doing this years ago. And then obviously the injuries. It's always the injuries with Anthony Davis.
It's availability. It's absolutely. In the last couple of 2 years, he's played 36 and 40 games, okay, going into this year. What he's doing, you know, it has to be commended. In the last 9 games, he's averaging 35 points a game. He's had a low of 25 and a high of 55. He's shooting 59% from the floor. Granted, an awful lot of them are dunks but being provided him by LeBron, by the way, who's passing, you know, we're going to discuss. And it's all about Davis being healthy. We have always known that. We've never said anything else. He's a tremendous, tremendous talent. And so as far as the MVP thing, if that's, you know, that's a chic thing going on everywhere. And I'm not concerned about that right now. You know, of course, he should be in the conversation the way he's playing. If this thing continues, they after the 2-10 start, they're 8-2.
But you're 10-12. Bob, you cannot mention the letters MVP with a player who is 10-12. His team is 10-12.
But they're 8-2 in large because I just gave you the reason why they won those games. Starting to, so he can enter into that conversation. Oh, right.
LeBron, Patrick Beverly, don't mention it until you're in the playoffs. Like at least get in the playoffs where you're in the playoffs, and then maybe you could throw around his name for MVP. Until then, just shut up.
Like, there's a lot of competition anyway. We know that there's a lot of very worthy guys down. They're going to be involved, and
even with Luka. Listen, even Luka, they're 11-11. Like you can't win the MVP if you're in the play-in. To me, like you got to be one of the best six teams in your league right now to be considered an MVP candidate. That, to me, is what puts Jason Tatum above everybody right now. Above everybody.
Well, it's just the difference between the mentality of the two teams right now. And maybe this is me being a Celtic honk, but I haven't heard anybody on the Celtics talk about MVP awards. This is a team that were in the finals last year, and they were 2 games away from winning it. So here you have the Lakers. And this is the typical Hollywood thing, is it's all about the individual award, and they're crying about the MVP. It's like, you know
what? And AD isn't doing it, guys, just so we know, and we want to clarify here. This isn't Anthony Davis.
Oh, no, it's his teammate.
Anthony Davis is he's one of the nicest kids I've ever met doing this. He is. I don't think people understand who Anthony Davis is because, you know, remember, Rich Paul pushed him out of New Orleans. To LA. So he kind of got a bad rap there, listening to his agent. And listen, I don't know. Won a title there. He's been, life isn't so bad in LA. But Anthony Davis is a sweetheart of a kid. He's not going to be one. Just he and Tatum are similar personality wise. They're both kind of quiet to themselves. They're not arrogant, any of it. And neither one is going to be pushing themselves for MVP. It's going to be other people around him. And when LeBron talks, right, people generally listen. And if LeBron, again, just slow your roll, LeBron. Slow your roll a little bit and wait till you're in the playoffs, and then you can start touting. And let's see a healthy AD for 70 games and not 45.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a key. Obviously, it's always been a key. Always been a key, but this is a kind of a hey guys, remember me statement he's making.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, in the world of Jokic, the Joker, and Doncic, and Tatum, and Ja, and you know, it's hey guys, remember me? I'm pretty
I'm
damn
still
good
here.
Too.
And yeah, and that's great, and we love it. And as far as Rich Paul pushing him to LA, that was the right move. Like to me as a fan,
yeah.
If you got a problem with a guy leaving New Orleans, okay. New Orleans,
right?
For like the Knicks or the Lakers or the Celtics or any of these major market teams that have chances to win a title.
Maybe not the
problem with a player.
Maybe
doing
not
that.
The next Barry, but
well, I don't, because it's New York. You know what I mean? I mean, listen, I'm not a Dolan guy either, but you know, but if you have a problem with a player wanting to go play for a championship because he's never going to win one in New Orleans,
correct?
I mean,
correct.
Get over it.
Bob, no, I gotta, you pair yourself with LeBron. That was
I mean, that's what they do. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
By the way, the guy in New Orleans is playing pretty well lately.
Zion. We talked about him in the last pod.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. No, Zion's been good.
And he continues to play well.
Yeah. They've been good. They've been
well, if he's healthy, his whole thing is health, you know?
Oh, we've always, you know, will the body, can the body, you know, will it betray him in the end? That's the question with him, because he's going to do what he's going to do when he's out there, and nobody ever stops him.
How about Bob? I want to start.
Jose Alvarado, you know that name, Bob?
Yes.
Whoa. 38 points coming off the bench for New Orleans. He was like a mid-major recruit coming out of high school, goes to Georgia Tech, takes them to the tournament, undrafted, puts 38 up for New Orleans last night.
I mean, that's Lou Williams territory, what he just did. That, you know, and so, no, I saw that. My eyes popped open wide when I saw that this morning. Yeah.
Very cool.
I want to ask Bob about this, start with you on this one. I just saw that LeBron is just past Magic for six all-time in assists. And I just want to talk about that part of LeBron's game, because I feel that he has – I think he's one of the best superstar passing players, period.
Oh, well, it's to me, you know, when – and you no longer – all right, I no longer can consider him as a forward. He's a player. He's got the ball. You know, and I always said all these years, the two best passing forwards of all time were Larry Bird and LeBron. And I'll still stick with that. And I still think Bird's a better all-around passer. The difference is LeBron's got the ball all the damn time now.
Right.
He's got the ball all the time. That's why what made Larry special and makes him special in the history of the game is that no one accomplished more ever with the ball in his hands less than Larry Bird. And that's going to stand the test of time. I don't think we'll ever see anybody get more done without the ball in his hands and as quickly as he had the ball in his hands. LeBron's got it. He's got the ball all the time, but he's a great passer. He made a beautiful hook pass last night to Davis, which I loved. It was a beautiful arcing hook pass. He's a creative passer, and he's a willing passer, and he's always been a passer. But it just jumps out at you when you see where he's climbed in the all-time list. But he started out really as a forward, and now he's basically a surrogate point guard. You know, and let's face it, when you got him, you don't need a point guard. And
I remember when he got criticized for passing too much.
Well, my theory, you know, I'll repeat it for the millionth time. My theory on the difference between LeBron and Michael and how they got to where they were to the top of their respective mountains and their respective times. Michael didn't get there until he learned how to share. And LeBron didn't get there until he learned how to accept the responsibility of being the best player on the floor and acting accordingly. He shied away in that Dallas series, and it was a catharsis. I think he really took the criticism to heart. He's been a different player ever since. He did pass too much in those days, but he's LeBron. His skill set is, you know, spectacular. Excuse me.
Okay. It's amazing though that he's been this dominant. All right, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, just
got a tickle. Bob's got a tickle.
I got a tickle. I'm out tickled. Okay, let's go. Let's go.
It's amazing that LeBron has been, could go down. You know, again, he's going to be probably two in our books. I think all three of ours of all time, without being an elite shooter, like at all. I mean, he can make them.
Well, he can make them.
He's gotten better.
You know, I always grew up understanding the difference between a shooter and a scorer, and he's a scorer. Yes. You know, I mean, Ray Allen was a shooter. You know, that's a shooter, and Pierce is a scorer, and you know that was evident from the nature of their games. LeBron is a scorer; he can make threes. It's not the focal point of his game.
No.
All right, let's move on to what's going on in Atlanta. And Nate McMillan is always a guy who's a very good coach, controversial. Isn't worried about making friends, but he does seem to get results. I don't know if it's going to end that way in Atlanta. The Hawks right now are in fourth place in the East at 13-10. So what happened with Trae Young, Jeff, maybe you have some insight on this, is that
Yeah.
He missed a practice or a shoot around because he wanted to get treatment on his shoulder. So then McMillan says to his best player, well, you didn't tell me about it, so you can either come off the bench or miss the game. I mean, on the surface to me, this seems pretty petty by a coach. If a guy's getting treatment, I mean, he's your star player. You got to let it go.
Well, that what that I'm learning all this right now in real time. What that tells me or suggests to me is that this was a tip of the iceberg thing. That something okay. had to lead up there. If that couldn't have been this isolated incident that caused Nate McMillan to do that, that's my first instinct. That it would take a if that's the case.
All right, here's my question to you, Bob. What was Nate McMillan known for in his playing career?
Defense.
Correct. What does Trae Young not do?
Defend.
There you go. my guess is
who would two? Wait a minute. Two and two. Yeah, hey,
there you go.
Four.
There you go. Yes.
Okay.
I think there's some of that going on. I think, you know, there's entitlement, and Nate McMillan was a guy that had to grind it to get to where he is.
Absolutely.
Stay in the league and all that. And, you know, he's watching Trae Young and maybe DeJounte Murray a little bit, and they're feeling themselves. They've gotten off to a pretty good start so far, which they haven't done in Atlanta the last few years. So I think there's probably some of that there too. Some more, hey, listen, you know what? Let's play the right way. And I think that's the issue for me with Trae. Trae can put up 40 every night, but he can give up 40 every night. And people don't look at that enough. And that's what, to me, makes Jason Tatum maybe the MVP, makes Anthony Davis, when he's healthy, an MVP candidate. Because they're not just scoring. They're impacting the game on the other end. And that's something that I just feel like doesn't get enough attention from people when they talk about the great players in the league. Like, there's great players who are great one-way players. Well, and then there's great all-around players. And to me, that's such a separator. Like, Trae Young can't guard anybody. Nobody right now. Luka's gotten better on that end. He's not great, but, like, he's gotten better defensively for the most part. And that's all. Steph got better. Bad early, and he got better to where he was an above average defender. That's all you can ask for. Don't be a liability. And Trae Young has to learn not to be a liability defensively.
Apropos of nothing we're talking about, but Nate McMillan, I just got to drop this in there. I go back to, I saw him in the JUCO tournament.
Wow.
Hutchinson, Kansas, yeah, in 1984. I went to the JUCO. I saw the whole tournament, which is a trip. It's the whole week. It's a phenomenal, you know, if you're a basketball.
I've always wanted to go.
It was everything you think it is.
Yeah.
It was Walter Burry's big year for San Diego. Really? But the second best player in the tournament was Nate McMillan of Chawan Junior College in North Carolina. And anyway, I always think of that when I see Nate McMillan. All right. Now, what you were just talking about, a guy that jumps out as the personification of what you're talking about and why we revered, you know, we were so enraptured with him in his good years is Kawhi. Right. Kawhi brought it at both ends and brings when he's healthy now that he's entered into that phase where, oh, is Kawhi capable of playing tonight? You know, he brings it. This is the guy that you're talking. This is the kind of player that you're example. He's talking about. Yeah.
All right, guys, before we get to our final question, and I do have to tell you that BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting for football and basketball this season. You always find the latest odds, teams, matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. The fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf games and events. Head to BetOnline and join. Receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. Always your continued source for sports wagering information. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, live scores for almost any sport imaginable. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, so gentlemen, how do we feel about Louisville? Struggling.
I'm throwing this in Jeff's. He's going to explain how this happened. But I just want people to know what we're talking about here. They're not just 0-8, and they're 0-8, okay? They're not just 0-8, and after losing their first three games by a point each to Wright State, App State, and uh, uh, two And Bellarmine writes that they have lost their last five games by 26, 32, 19, 25, and 27. That's an average of 26 points. Jeff Goodman.
Yeah.
Picasa in Louisville.
So, all right. He didn't inherit a great situation, right? Chris Mack basically left the team last January, midway through. And Mack didn't leave him a ton of great players, but he left him a bunch of front court guys, right? Bunch of them that were top 100 players. Kenny Payne takes over. Former Louisville player. He was on the national title team with Denny Crum coaching, and he's revered, right? Kenny Payne was an assistant in Oregon for a while under Ernie Kent, where he became tight with the people at Nike. He then went to Kentucky, coached with Calipari for years as his assistant, and then the last couple of years went to the Knicks as an assistant there. And they hired him because the new fad is hiring former players for these programs, right? Ewing, Juwan Howard, Penny Hardaway, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Generally, most of them do not work or have not worked in the past. We'll see how some of these work going forward. Kenny Payne, here's how I compare it, Bob. This is the easy comparison. Kevin Willard took over a very similar situation at Maryland. Okay, Mark Turgeon quit halfway through the season too, earlier in the season. And culture wasn't great, whatever. Kevin Willard takes over at Maryland. Now, the only difference between Louisville and Maryland is Louisville's still under an NCAA investigation until a month ago. But Willard goes into the portal and gets two guards, Jameer Young from Charlotte and Donald Carey from Georgetown, and keeps some of the guys he's got that are used to kind of losing and a bad culture, whatever. And now they're undefeated. And I think they're like number 7 in my latest top 25, Maryland. Undefeated, rolling. Jameer Young's been awesome. So he goes portaling, and it works out. Kenny Payne does not get anybody in the portal. Strikes out on guards, and he's got one guard on his roster, L. Ellis. And he's not a point guard. He's a JUCO kid who's kind of a scoring guard. And really, his backup guard is Master P's son, a walk-on, who transferred in from like Xavier, where he never played, and Tennessee State. So the difference here is like you gotta figure out the portal. And Kenny Payne is getting crushed for not only not figuring out the portal and not getting anybody, but also it's an embarrassment how they're losing games. Usually at this point in the season, the only teams without a win, guys, are teams that play bye game after bye game and get killed from the SWAC,
right,
or the low majors that are making money, going around the country, getting paid 85 to 100 grand to get their brains beat in. Right. Usually when I put out the list right now of winless teams, it is like 3 SWAC teams and 2 other low majors. Well, I put it out this morning, and right now it is 4 teams left without a win. It is Louisville. It is Cal. It is Milwaukee. It is Central Connecticut State. And Cal is ravaged by injuries. Louisville just plain sucks. And Kenny Payne better figure it out fairly quick. He'll get, obviously, this year and one more. And the other part is, Bob, they missed out on DeJuan Wagner to Kentucky. DeJuan Wagner is one of the top players in the country coming in next year. Yeah. They hired his grandfather.
Right.
Milt. Right? Kenny Payne hired his grandfather, DeJuan's grandfather, and didn't get the kid. The kid chose to play for Calipari, who coached DeJuan Wagner. Yeah, DeJuan Wagner, DJ's father, and Nike was also involved here, obviously.
Bring back Potato.
Hey, Jeff, Fran Facilla said something interesting on the area tonight.
Yeah.
Which was that what schools should do is absolutely have one guy on their coaching staff who does nothing but watch video of games of the rest of the country the entire year in order to get into
the portal. No, it's true. Like guys right now should be looking around the country, who's not playing or what mid-major is dominating that's got a year left that we can go get potentially, especially like if you're Louisville, you're over right now.
They're
going to quit on you. They already have kind of quit on them.
This is astonishing. this is a Louisville program that's got three national championships. I'm counting that third one, by the way. You know,
yeah, which you got to. You got to.
I do. I'm not, you know, and a legacy that goes back in the Final Fours in the 50s. Okay. We're talking about basketball matters.
Yes.
And by the way, they got to fill 18,000 seats in the Yum Center. I don't know. I
they're going to lose a lot of money now. A lot of money.
And it's not that long ago that Tom Urich was being hailed as the best best AD in the country before all the bleep hit the you know what.
Yeah.
And oh my God. Anyway, it's shock. But the numbers, I'm going to repeat them as an exit. They lost the last five games by 26, 32, 19, 25, and 27. Mon Dieu.
Bad.
We'll end on that note. Gentlemen, always a pleasure. Jeff, thank you for filling us in on the Cardinals. Bob, good to have you back.
Great to be back.
All right, guys, driven by Bet Online. That'll do it for Ryan Goodman and Tangway. We'll see you next week.